Okay, this is our sixth session in the Sefer Musar Avicha. Today is the 16th of April. Your taxes are due tomorrow. And it is Chaf Dalet Nisan, the 24th of Nisan. We've had the Pesach Yom Tov in between. I hope everybody is inspired, if not refreshed. But just to review a little bit of what we've seen recently in the Sefer Musar Avicha, Simon Vav, back on page Chaf Ches, Rav Kook defined for us the difference between Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. First, by talking in great depth about what sin is a function of and what's wrong within the neshama when a person is doing a Chet and how that makes him far away from his whole reason for his existence, which makes him really at odds with the universe. Then at the end of that long paragraph, he basically defined, it's on the top of page Chavtes, the second line, he said, lowliness of the soul is sin. The fear of that, the fear to want to stay away from that, is what we call yiras chet, fear of sin. And the fear of being far away from the light of Hashem, and the shame and the pain involved in that is yiras shamayim, fear of heaven. Because we do find our sages use the terms fear of heaven and fear of sin. So he wanted to define that. I do want to comment that that is at a little bit more of an abstract level. According to my own limited understanding, if you look at the general usage of the term fear of heaven and fear of sin, as it's used by our sages, there are numerous gemaras that talk about, based on psukim, that talk about having yiras shamayim, and there are gemaras that talk about fear of sin. At the most basic level, fear of heaven is a person who thinks about God, thinks about God's greatness. Fear of sin is a person who knows human nature, knows his own foibles and his own weaknesses, and is focusing more on, how do I make sure I don't slip into that? In fact, I brought with me today the Altar of Kelm in print, not in reality. That would be a neat trick. But I just want you to be aware that the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had three Talmidim, whom he dubbed respectively Lamdan, Chacham, Chassid. The learned one, the wise one, and the righteous one, Lamdan, Chacham, Chassid. Lamdan was the one we know as Rav Itzel Petterberger, Rav Itzel Blazer of St. Petersburg. He was the Lamdan. Chacham is the Altar of Kelm. It's Rav Simcha Zissel Ziv, the Altar of Kelm. And Chassid is Rav Naftali Amsterdam. Those are his three main Talmidim. You'll constantly see writings about his three Talmidim. No, he had others, but these were the three. Reb Naftali Amsterdam.
He's wonderful. You said that Lamdan is the learned, the Chacham is the wise.
Yeah, and Chassid is the righteous.
Okay, thank you.
There's even writings about why, how and why he gave them these titles, because to us this one would also look like a Chassid, this one also look like a Lamdan, but that's what he called them. And much of the Musar we have today comes through them. Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, whose Svarim I'm teaching the men now, is really a Talmud of a Talmud, the Altar of Kelm. Learned a little bit under the Altar of Kelm. So in the big set, the classic set of Musar Sfarim, we have two volumes of the Altar of Kelm's writings, Simcha Zissel Ziv. Kelm was a great Musar yeshiva. In some ways, even some of the things that we read of them and things they wrote are so beyond us, it's all, you could almost go crazy if you try to live up to it. But the Altar of Kelm has a piece in the first volume of his letters, the difference between the early ones and us. And what he basically does is he shows a few places in the Gemara where people who seem to be the lowest of the low had a sudden awakening. Somebody pointed out to them, no, don't do that. He said, oh, you're right. And they totally did an about face. And they didn't do the sin. A few such instances in the Gemara. I'm oversimplifying, but that's the basic idea. And he ponders this, and he says, you know, we don't see that today, that a person who's about to do a terrible sin has such an awakening to turn around. And the way he basically defines it is Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. He said in earlier generations, there were people who lacked fear of sin but had fear of heaven. And therefore, it was less of a process to get them to say, no, don't sin either. It's, oh, I won't sin because the fear of heaven was in place. That's the way he defines it. Whereas later, if there's no fear of heaven and no fear of sin, then it's very hard to have that kind of a turnabout. That's the way he defines it. It happens to be some Reish Chav Tes in the writings of the first volume, the writings of the Altar of Kelm. So there he talks about Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chet. And again, I think that's the simpler understanding. Is Yiras Shamayim is somebody who thinks about God, knows there's God, has an awareness of God, God's greatness, but gives no thought. If he's lacking Yiras Chet, fear of sin, it's because he gives no thought to, yes, well, if all that is true, I better watch myself because I have negative tendencies, I have weaknesses. So he says, sinners that are referred to in the Gemara who are able to have such a sudden awakening and complete awakening, it's because the fear of God was in place. They just hadn't applied Yiras Chet, fear of sin. So that's less of a step. If Bali Musa have a way of really knocking you down, so he said, look at us. Our righteous people are not like their sinners. We don't have, don't be offended. That's the way Bali Musa talk. He ends off saying there, Hisbonanu achai kama gadol v'ravu otzam hachet. This is a step later. He says, look at the difference between us and them. Their sinners had fear of heaven the way we don't have it, even among our righteous. But the point is, he's making that definition. Fear of heaven means somebody who thinks about Hashem, thinks about God's greatness. But he's lacking Yiras Chet in his terminology. Lios Yare Chet Levroach Shivim Sha'arim Min Chet, to run 70 gates away from sin, meaning to make protective measures that I not come to violate. That's a separate process. So I mention that because that's the standard usage. And usually when you talk about Yiras Shamayim, it means thinking about Hashem. Yiras Chet means thinking about what do I do to make sure I don't violate. That's the standard definition. Rav Kook is taking it at a much deeper level. He's talking about what a person feels when he sins, what he feels when he's far away from Hashem. But I just want to clarify that the simpler usage, it's not contradictory, but it's just a different emphasis.
A question. Are they speaking, who is their audience? Are they speaking to, a world of, learned people, or are they talking about, Amka? Are they talking about people who are learned? Sometimes there's, a critique of one school of thought, the Hasidic.
Usually they're talking to the learned.
They mean, these are people who are spending their day in learning, even they don't know
if they're spending their day in learning, but they are learned.
They're talking about the learned, and even with
you see from their usages and the way they don't bother to explain something, because of course you know what I'm referring to, that Gemara, this place in Nach, it's clear that they mean for a learned audience. One of the things that happens when you study Musa, any Sefer I pick up, I say, well, why am I learning this? This is so above us. But then the answer is, because if I learn this, so is this, and so is that. The great Chacham always speak to a high level, and what we have to do is pull ourselves up. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, all the great Musas from the classics, the Mesil Sesharim, and the Shari Tshuva, and the Chosalos, it's way above. It's way above. But when you aim high, even if you don't make it all the way...
I don't mean in terms of that it's above us. Are they saying that that the audience for whom they're right, what he means by those who are, Yirei Shamayim or Yirei Chet, they're really speaking not to of a general population, but that these expectations, when they say that our Chachamim are not they're righteous, they're really focused on this is the learned class, so to speak. They're not making a general statement.
It's even the learned class.
But are they also including in it that this is something that people in general, women for instance, would be privy to or expected to understand?
Musar is taking the lessons of the Torah seriously and fully. It doesn't mean a person is an expert in Hilchos Shemitah and Hilchos this and that.
Right.
I'll just tell you, generally speaking, One of the ideas you see in Musar is not to distinguish between the learning and the Rabbi Yisrael Salant's Rebbe, Rabbi Zundel of Salant, considered himself like a simple person. There are letters from the Bali Musa, one writes to the Rabbi Nachum Zevzi, the altar of Kalm's son, writes a letter to Rabbi Rucham. Oh, you're so fortunate. You sit and teach Torah and do important things, and I'm filling my day with Narishkeit. But he was his Rebbe. So it's like very, very different way of looking at the world. We look at things, there are people who are learning and they're simple. It's not that. Yeah, it's not.
But they mean this like as a...
It's for everyone. Yeah. It's for everyone, yeah. But in terms of the way they present things, they measure their words. They don't always prove the point. That's why sometimes you have to really contemplate what they're talking about, because they don't expand. They are very sparing with their words. In any event, that was Simen Vav in the Musar V'Yecha Yerushalayim B'Yerushalayim. I just wanted to clarify, he's talking about the underlying emotion, but in the simple usage. I don't want the subtlety to make us lose the simple. The simple is Yerushalayim means I'm thinking about Hashem, Yerushalayim is I'm thinking about, now what do I do to make sure that I don't, because we know a human being has tremendous potential for contradiction. So aware of Hashem, but I'm sinning as I'm talking about it. So Yerushalayim is thinking about Hashem, Yerushalayim is thinking about my weaknesses. That's the simple usage. Simen Zion, which we're in the middle of, which starts on page Chavtes. So Rav Kook makes a very important point, and I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit also. We started to see it the last time. He talks about why people basically don't study what we would call Musar enough or properly nowadays. And first he says that some of the ideas in these Svarim are too esoteric and too lofty and too subtle, and people just they read the words, they say, I don't know what this means, and they move on to something they can relate to. That's an understandable challenge. But the next thing he talks about is that people make an error in thinking that, in his terminology, sa'aras halev, the storm of the heart, is musar. In other words, to be emotionally fired up, that is the study of Yiras Hashem. Rav Kook says that is an error. And he explains the mechanism of what happens. He says, put together the following factors. That first of all, the terms used are things you think you understand when you don't. As he said in the beginning of the book, we talk about Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. You have to really contemplate and work on what they mean. And a person can think he understands it when he doesn't. That's fact number one. Factor number two, person doesn't see any great wisdom in it. All right, I have to fear Hashem, I have to be kind, okay. And his mind likes to engage in things where he can really feel intellectually challenged and like he accomplished something. And the error that getting fired up, quote unquote, is Musar, he says, put all that together, what happens is a person opens a sefer that really has profound wisdom in it, reads it quickly, says, okay, I feel fired up, and he thinks he has fulfilled the study of Yira when he's missed it. That's the way Rav Kook puts it. That's an oversimplification. But he says, but when actually these works require so much clarity and equilibrium, he cited numerous statements of our sages to that effect. There's a famous Gemara, Shmaitze Boitz Losa Kiyoma De Istana, a sugya, a matter of study in Torah needs clarity like the weather outside today, like a clear day. It's not stormy, it's not windy, you need to be clear. And he says that's true of anything in the Gemara, how much more so it's true of things that have to do with the direct service of Hashem. He borrowed a phrase in the Gemara in Shabbos, Zman Tfila Lechud is Zman Torah Lechud. It's Rav Hamnuna. The time for Tfila is one thing, time for Torah is another. Tfila is emotional, Torah is balanced, is intellectually honest, unemotional. We'll continue with this. I just want to comment that what he's saying now will seem directly at odds with a lot of Musar writings. And I don't think he's really arguing, but as is frequently the case, when there's a deficiency, so the Chachamim will swing the pendulum to the other side, and what happens is some people will swing right out of the grandfather claim. They'll go right off the deep end. We saw that in the Chazon Ish's writings, that he felt Musar had gone too far. He was quoting Rav Yisrael Salanter to teach people what Musar should be. I believe Rav Kook is doing the same thing. I want to read to you some of the things that Rav Yisrael Salanter and his Talmidim write, which will sound like a direct contradiction of this, but I don't think it is. I think what he's saying is, you're forgetting he said two things, you're doing just one. For example, the first volume of the classic, most of this is the Ari Yisrael. Ari Yisrael is actually Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's writings, but it's published together with the writings of Rav Itzhak Petterberger, Rav Yitzchak Blazer of St. Petersburg, who was Lamdan, close disciple of Rav Yisrael, who published his writings, and he introduces the Ari Yisrael, he introduces Rav Yisrael's own writings, and actually follows it also with his own explanations and insights about Rav Yisrael Salanter. So in Sha'arei Ar, the gate to the Ar, the Ar Yisrael is Rav Yisrael, he introduces it with Sha'arei Ar, he talks all about Rav Yisrael Salanter. So consider the following. This is Sha'arei Ar, chapter 9, Simen Tes. I'll read some of what he writes. Ofane toelas halimud v'hu limud ha-musar behispalus. The benefit of the study of Musar, which is behispalus, with emotion, with movement. Admar Zecher Tzadar Kadosh Levracha, our master of blessed memory, Bechachmaso, in his wisdom, Shina es Pnei Limud HaMusar, changed the face of the study of Musar. You have to understand, Rav Yisrael Salanter did not innovate Musar. The Svarim that he was telling people to study had been studied before. They were written centuries before. To say that Rav Yisrael Salanter made up Musar is folly. But what he's saying is he changed the face of it, at least somewhat. Vayalbish osa tsura acheres, and he cloaked it with a different form. Bitachas asher milafanim, and in place of where earlier gam mishalomed lefamim eza sifri musar, whereas even somebody who studied occasionally some works of musar, people before Rabbi Yisrael Salanter also studied achavas alvavas and ashari tshuvan and mesilas yisharim, those were classic works before. Hayasigna and halimud hazeh, the style, the form of this study. Bitam ubenigun limud gemara uposkim was done with the same, flavor, or he might mean accentuation, and tune the way a person studied gemara and poskim. People sit in yeshiva and study, they read out loud. There are numerous statements of our sages that the benefit of studying things out loud. So I'm reading a gemara, Amar Abaya, so I'm reading a chavos alavos, Amar hachosid, and same thing. Or without saying it all, but just study and looking at it. Ulam admar zecher tzadok kadosh avrocha ho rabina vadas, but our master taught insight. Ki pri hatoelas milimud hamusar hu l'shnei panim, that there's a dual benefit to the study of Musar. Echad hu hayediyav haskala b'chachmas hayira, one is the knowledge and insight in the wisdom of Yira. Bear that in mind, because number one is important. knowledge and understanding of the Chachma of Yira. Leida derech Hashem Yisbarach Shemo, to know the ways of Hashem. Lehavin ulahaskil bedarke avadaso, to understand and be wise in the ways of His service. Kihi Chachma Rabba va'amuka, because it is a great and deep wisdom. As the pasuk says, as the pasuk says, "Hein yiras Hashem yichachma." And the Gemara and Shavuos, Yovel Korach Cook spoke about that pasuk. Hein meaning one is one thing that's real chachma, yiras Hashem, etc. Habei is the second thing. He hisorus is the arousal, hisorus like uri, air to be awake. Asher ayideh halimud besifrei Musar, which comes from the study of Musar. Yecham levavo, his heart should be hot. V'yispoel nafsho, and his soul is moved. V'yichana rucho, and his spirit is subjugated, subdued, which means humility. V'yisorer bekirbo yiras Hashem yisbarach shemo, and it's roused within him is the fear of God. And I'm not going to read it all in Hebrew because it'll take a little bit. He says, now, for complete knowledge, there's no difference how you study it. Just simple iyun, analysis, works the way you study anything intellectual. But for the acquisition of yira, to acquire the trait, to be roused through the study, he's far away from it. He can read the words, and fear of God is still far away from his insides. It hasn't made an impression. So let me read to you what he writes. Ulazos letachlas knias hayira. Therefore, for this purpose, for the acquisition, for acquiring fear, nochutz shetiyah signan halimud b'sifrei Musar, it's necessary, it's important that the style of learning in Sifrei Musar Behispalus hanefesh. With to be mispael means to be moved. Hispalus hanefesh means with the emotional movement of the soul. Belev nachon, with a heart that's ready and attentive. Bekol otze, with a sad tone. You hear people in the yeshivas and Musa Siddharim when they're saying something that's chilling or sad. They say, oh, yo, yo. And it's with a, that was part of the Musa movement. Bisvasayim dolkim, with lips that are on fire. Harchivas harayan bitziyure chushi, that broadened the idea with images that you sent. Kikoach hatzir moel ma'od lemusar, because imagery works a lot for Musa, right? But there's nothing like a picture, an actual vividly seeing something, right? You tell somebody a story that happened, or they watch it in a play or a video clip with music, right? It's much more moving. La'orah hanefesh berigshas haivarim, to rouse the soul. Rigshas haivarim means with the emotion, the feeling of the limbs. That's what the Musa movement was. To very much be moved by the words that we're reading. So this is all about reading Musar with emotion. In Rabbi Yisrael's own writings, I marked one place. He uses the same words. I'm sure Ravitzla took it from him. L'halav hanefoshes b'ziko harayon, to fire up the souls with the purity of the idea. B'limudim hanisgavim halala, with these lofty subjects that we study. L'ilmod b'sfasayim dolkim, to learn with lips that are ablaze. He uses the same words. Actually, yeah, apparently Rav Itzla Petterberger took it from his Rebbe's own writings. This is in Ar Yisrael section 2. So this is all about learning with emotion. Yeah.
I just want to say that if when you're learning, you remember that you're going to die, then you get more your awe of Hashem. If you remember that you're going to die, and that maybe that's depressing, but that's reality. Reality is you're going to die, and if you know you're going to die, then you have fear of Hashem.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the mechanisms that our sage is talking about. Zachar Yom Hamisa, remembering mortality, which if for those who are here for our study of the Geshur HaChaim, it's not meant to be morbid. It's just meant to mean that the term paper is ultimately due and we better get working on it, that's all. It's not meant to be morbid at all. It just means that there's a term to things and it's not eternal. That's one of the things that our sages talk about. So, but here's the question. When I read this, the source that says a person should recall mortality, do I read it and think about it with equilibrium, intellectual, okay, what does that mean? And what, or do I say, Zechar Yaim Hami, so yo yo yo. They're different, probably would not be the right tune. But that's
interesting also to juxtapose the idea of being fired up, which leads to humility. Usually fired up could lead to hubris.
Well, it depends how you do it.
Right. But the idea
there are different emotions.
Exactly, and that's looking for something specific to be fired up to lead to a humility really gives you pause. But that's
right. Well, that's the old joke, right? The Musa Yeshiva guy comes and he's new in the yeshiva and he's sitting in the corner and he's saying, I'm dust and ashes. And two guys walk by and say, look at him, he just got here, already thinks he's dust and ashes. It's an old deal. Yeah, that's the irony of all of this, is that greatness is non-greatness.
Right.
But what I'm trying to raise here is, do we have a contradiction? The Musar greats are saying that you're supposed to learn behispalus, part of the Musar movement. Musar met with enormous opposition. And some people write about it historically. I'm talking about great Chachamim. Sri Deish writes about it. They write, if you'd ask a Baal Musar what he's trying to do, he's just trying to say that people should take more seriously the things they're already learning. Why should that meet with such opposition?
Because it assumes that they're not.
Well, that I don't know that people disagree with so much, although some, but the slight changes they made, a change in the style, the way Torah was studied, I always use the Mashal Pesach time, it's all the same ingredients. It's all potato starch and sugar, but you know, if you make it this way, it's, you know, it's a kugel. If you make it that way, it's, you know, a baby finger. If you make it this way, it's cholent. Like, it all depends, like what you, the proportions are very important. They were very fearful. You're changing the emphasis. Yeah, same works, but now people are going to spend more time doing this and singing it a different way. The emphasis is changing. They were very concerned about it. Some were very opposed to it. Nobody denied that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was one of the greatest people of the generation. Nobody denied that we're supposed to take Yiras Shamayim seriously. But do we make that kind of a shift? Even though to some people it doesn't look like such a radical shift, but the Jewish people have wanted to preserve their tradition so carefully that even these changes were considered radical. But you have Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and his Talmidim pointing out it's supposed to be learned with emotion. Now I'm reading Rav Kook, who certainly is a Baal Musar, and I'll show you that in other writings that we'll hopefully quote shortly. And he's saying, because people make a terrible mistake. They think that emotion is Musar. So do we have a contradiction here? I don't think so. I think what happened is, remember, Rav Yisrael Salanter said two things. One is the Chachma of Yira, which is a very great Chachma, and the second is the emotion of it. Item number one, they already knew. Item number two, ooh, that's a new one. The new thing got so much attention that they forgot number one. What Rav Kook is saying is people are making a mistake. If they think Rabbi Yisrael Salanter meant it's all just, you know, breaking a sweater with the sefer in front of me, wait a second, the first thing he said was it's a chachma rabba va'amuka. It's a deep and vast chachma. I believe what he's saying is you're missing it. If I think it's only the getting worked up, then we're missing something important. So this is... I think you could probably write a dissertation of Sfarim that came after the initial generation of the Bali Musar that are also Musar, but talk about putting it back. It's Hegel's Maisa with the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, I don't know. But let's hear Rabbi Yosher Soloveitchik say, Haltnish von Hegel's Maisa von Teze, Antiteze, und Synthese. I don't hold of that. But anyway, there was one idea, there was... And the Hasidus went through the same process. There was a kind of, no, don't go that far. And then it was, now it's already accepted in the yeshivas. So I think that's what you're seeing here. So Rav Kook is saying, if I right away jump into, oh, I don't really see any depth here, but I'm getting worked up, then I'm missing the boat, just missing the boat. He says, first understand what it's saying. He says, Musar is good. I mean, the emotion is good before you learn. And after you learn to inculcate it, that was the name of this chapter, Limud Hayira Ukviusa, the study of Yira, and it's firmly being established, but not during, because if I'm trying to be emotional when I'm supposed to be using my intellect in its pure sense, it's distracting. So that's what he's saying. So I hope that clarifies it somewhat. Because sometimes you read Sfarim, it looks like you're seeing machlokas or you're seeing contradiction. It's not. It's just this is important, but this is also important. Make sure you have the balance right. So let's look on page Lamed Aleph, the fourth line. I think we read some of this already. So he writes, Ubo mizeh chas v'sholom lahavzos bilvavo kol inyan hayira. A person comes from this to, God forbid, degrade the whole idea of yira. Why? I opened the book. I didn't see any great depth, but I knew what I'm supposed to do is get emotional from it, so I got emotional, but it was fleeting. And I did that time and again. I've done this a few years, and I'm getting smarter already. It doesn't last. There's no great chachma here. It's a pep talk. It doesn't work well. I find that the things I can delve into in Torah are much more meaningful. So what does he say? Yeah, that's for dummies. That's basically what he ends up saying. Bal koponim yivra, or at the very least, yivrach yosel lelimudim shemotzei sichlo makom lizgader bam lahavin lahaskel. At the very least, he'll run more to limudim, to studies, where his seichel finds a place. The term lizgader, Rashi, it's used in Shas in a few places. It means like to allocate a geder, a realm for yourself. But Rashi says lizgadel, to make oneself great. If there's a very difficult subject in Gemara, and I have this question, that question, that question, I have a brilliant answer, and the answer's all, oh, and I think it's true. All right, so I write it down. Now I did something. Then you tell me, okay, Seder's over, now open up the book of Yira, and I see some psukim about having fear of Hashem, and I sing it, and it doesn't go anywhere. So it ends up getting degraded, because it doesn't look to him like it has any depth. Al Kain, therefore, says Rav Kook, Hachova Rabba, the obligation is great. I'll call me Shechanono Hashem Yisbarach, upon anyone whom Hashem has favored, Lahavin, to truly understand, Bedarke Hayira, and the ways of fear, V'Archos Kinyasa, and the paths of acquiring it. A person can have an idea what it is, but he can't figure out how do we get there. He says, a person who knows what it is and knows the paths of how to get to it, V'Limud Drachea, and the study of its ways, L'Faresh Hadvarim Ad Mokom Shiyodo Magas, to explain the things. Makom she'yad magas means to the place where his hand reaches. It means as much as he is able to. Which again, this is really, he's defining why he wrote the book. He did this in the opening paragraph. A person who understands something in Musar that he thinks people need to understand or it's not clear should articulate it, should clarify it, because unfortunately, if things aren't understood, they end up being denigrated. Ulahoros darke halimud haposhut binyane shlemus havoda gamla ktane hasechel. And to teach the ways of simple study in matters of complete service of Hashem, even to people of lesser intellect. Doesn't have to be to the greatest chacham, but try to show people that there's something here that needs study. Eich yelchu b'seder nachon, how they can go in the proper arrangement or order. V'yimtu b'dayta musagim nachonim, and they will find with their understanding correct and true concepts. Sometimes you study something, you say, ah, that clicked. Now I got it. Maybe it's something deep, maybe it's not so deep. It's something I didn't know before. He presented it to me. I heard it, I read it, whatever it was, and now I got it. He says we should work on that. And also that there's place to understand and to have seichel, meaning there's depth to it, gam lachadesh, even to innovate. The Balei Musar, each one adds a little bit. He shows you a further depth, a further insight, something that wasn't clear. And they clarify that's chiddush, that's novelty. And in this process, the matters will become acquired and firmly established. Things we don't work on tend not to be firmly inculcated within ourselves. You have to work at it. I have to have a question, think about it, reach an answer, and then contemplate that answer. That's how you get somewhere. Key quote, Torah Mevi'a Lidei Zehirus. It's a statement from our Chazal. It's also the fundamental background of the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. Torah, meaning study, leads to diligence, leads to being careful. It only comes from study. I have to think about it. I have to work on it. Torah leads to Zehirus. V'nosef al zeh. In addition to this, Shebnei Doreinu b'medina seinu, the people of our generation and our locales, Hatoranim, the Torah people of Torah, Shebanu among us, Hurgalu, they've been habituated, accustomed to belimud behispashtus hasechel b'charifus, of extending the seichel in sharpness. We like, let me see something really sharp. All right, everybody studied the same background, the Gemara. I read the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tos, the Rishon. Who has something sharp to say? Let's hear an insight. The Rebbe says a shir, there's something sharp. There's a question that eluded everybody else. He's got a sharp answer. We're used to that. But he says, ad she'ikr ne'imas limudam, to the degree, it goes so far that the main ne'imas means the pleasantness of their study, it becomes only measured in to what degree their seichel has a place to find some honor. Not necessarily he wants honor, that he wants people to honor him, but a person feels accomplished when he has a sharp insight into what he just studied. Again, not necessarily to show it to other people, but the idea is we get so used to the idea of charifus, of pilpul and chiddush, that I only accomplished something today if in my learning I had something sharp that other people might not realize. That's the accomplishment. Afal pi shesimas geder b'davar zeh hi kilkul gadol haro'a gadola. That's the way they are, even though he's using the term simas geder, putting a fence, but that's from the word l'hizgader. It's a subtle usage here. The word lezgadr means to self-glorify, to make oneself great, to accomplish something where I did something special that's my own honor. I thought of something. Again, not necessarily that I want to show it to others, but I had to innovate something of my own. He says that's actually a kilkul gadol, a ra'a gadol. Kilkul means messing up. It's a bad thing, b'avon oseinu aravim, in our abundant sins. Shebo mizeh shekol inyane ha-Torah she'ein bohem mitzad gidram kol kach omek iyun shel chilukei nosim. What comes from this is that matters of Torah that don't have such depth of analysis of chilukei nosim, I think he's alluding to what today people call the brisker derech. Very often in learning what happens is I'm studying something that looks like a contradiction here. They look like a number of different statements that seem to be at odds. then somebody demonstrates, no, there's two different, you think it's all one concept, it's actually two. There's this and there's that, and this is the definition of that one, this is the definition of this one, and now I'll show you everything fits in perfectly. That's in Yeshiva jargon, it's called the trade dinim. Two laws. You thought it was one, it's really two. When at the outset it all looked the same, and somebody can convincingly identify, no, it's really two things, and now everything lines up, that's a Gemara shir. And very often it's very true. It's the true way to understand things. But if I get used to that, all my learning is in that style, then if you come to something where that's not what it is all one. The depth of it is understanding the richness of what it means. But it's not there's two dinim in fearing Hashem, you know, and there's three dinim in davening to Hashem. It's not that. It's understanding more of what we call the agoda and the musar, which has a wealth of meaning to it, but it's not the same kind of learning. So what happens? Kedine brachos utfilos uchayotzebo, that abbreviation is uchayotzebo, means the like. Things like brachos and tefillos tend not to be, quote unquote, as lumdush, as laws of damages. In the yeshivas today, there's certain mesechtas that are generally studied because the concepts are very, very deep and subtle. And there are others that you do in your spare time. Learning brachos and about tefillah, that's considered lighter. So what, but says Rav Kook, what happens because of that? Limuda mismayet. So those subjects that don't have these halachic nuances that again, he's not using this terminology, but I'll use the terminology, that don't have the lumdisha categories, so their study gets reduced. That's what happens. Now he says, the truth is it's difficult to uproot this tendency. This is a long-standing tendency in the great wealth of the intellectual world of the Torah, which is a very powerful force. Yeah.
You used the word, did you say heavy? I was thinking practical, but you said a different word. That the ones that get the attention, and you didn't mean that. You gave the example like brachos and that stuff. That's not what they mean.
That would be considered lighter.
Right. And what he's referring to would be not necessarily practical, but like kutchen or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, where it doesn't have to be practical at all.
It's not about practical.
But the concepts, they're intellectually more stimulating if you're trained in a certain kind of thinking.
It has nothing to do with practical or not.
No,
it
not practical.
It has to do with like
that's not really the right word.
Scholarly, complex.
Well, there's no good English word. The word is lumdish. I can't
lumdish.
Really.
Lumdish, like I said, lumdish. Perfect.
Yeah,
lumdish.
You have to realize there's a tremendous. We had Rishonim, early commentators who wrote tersely. Great Achronim. They started with people, Svarim known as the Ketos HaChoshen and the Sivas HaMishpat, and then following in the great generations of the Rashi Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Brisker, and all enormous minds who showed what's really happening behind the scenes, and it's astounding, and it's deep, and it's concrete, and you look at something, you thought you were seeing it, and then they dissect it, and they take it apart, and they show you what's going on behind the scenes, and everything, things that beforehand were difficult, now all fit in. It's astounding. That's what we call lumdus. What he's saying is that many of the subjects in Yiras Hashem don't have that, or at least that's not the point. Chaim does have a piece that there's two dinim in tefillah, but that's not the wealth of understanding tefillah, it's not just knowing that. And what he's saying is, if it doesn't fit into that system, so people are shying away from it, which is unfortunate. That's what he's saying. One of the ideas actually in Rav Kook's writings in general is that there's a continuum between halacha and agoda. Agoda is really musar. Agoda is the non-halachic parts of the Gemara. And halacha is whatever is, actually what I just said, lumdish. How does the halacha work? Oh, there's actually two different laws. This mitzvah has this category and that category. This one works like this. That's what's tough. That's studied in Yeshiva. When I say halacha, I don't mean it's practical halacha, but it's a halachic mode of thinking. Generally, we divide them. One of the great achronim, the Marsha, in the back of the Gemara, he has two svarim, chidusha halachos, chidusha agadas. On the same page of Gemara, he made it into two different works, because really they're two different disciplines. They work differently. Rav Kook, he has a very deep idea in some of his writings that Eretz Yisrael differs from Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, they're separate, but in Eretz Yisrael, they're together. which he holds as an outgrowth of nevuah, of prophecy. It's a vestige of which a very deep idea, but it is an idea that you'll see that, and really all great chachamim said the Torah is meant to be one unified whole. When at lesser levels you have to separate things. Well, ultimately the best medical treatment is holistic, right? But you don't want a doctor who never studied anything properly. So I at least want the specialist to know the area he's operating on. But it would be better if he had understood the whole system too. So at a lower level, which is still a high level, we do need specialties. But what he's saying, at the highest level, it's all chachma. That would be my best mashal. So he says, it's difficult to uproot this tendency. Umagam shemitzad atzma tovi, and he says, and the truth is, on its own, it's a good thing. Tova himot, it's a good thing, kishelo tavor saglul, when it doesn't go overboard, when it doesn't go beyond the boundary. Why is it a good thing? Of course it's a good thing. Anybody who's ever studied these type of subjects knows it's a good thing, because kiva kosher sa'emes bo ayidei ha'yisharas ha'sechel v'charitzuso lizbonein bedvarim amukim. Because the pursuit of truth comes from straightening out the seichel and its swiftness to be able to contemplate deep things. People who are trained in this kind of thinking can immediately take apart. They sometimes talk about how yeshiva guys do well in law school because they're used to, you cut right down to the core ingredients. Well, does it work like this or like this or like this? Of course, he says, it's a good thing because it straightens out your seichel. You get used to, in the Talmudic way of thinking, you know, like what in art scroll speak takes 10 pages to write out. It's like three lines in the Gemara because it's trained for that. So, of course, it's a good thing. He said, but not when it crosses over the boundary. Then you therefore say, well, if anything doesn't fall into under that rubric, mm-hmm. I reject. Al, yeah.
I was thinking of our patriarchs. I was thinking of Abraham was a little more hesed and Yitzhak was a little more din. And then the man of truth was Yaakov, who was able to combine
both. Right, yeah. But what that means, you know, is so far above us. We need to study a lot to begin to understand that. He says, Al kein roi laharos gilu, it's appropriate to show openly, l'chol tovsei Torah Hashem, to all the people who hold on to, all the people who are holding on to Torah, Ech shebelimudei hayira, yeser se'ez v'yeser az mecharitza sasecha nemtzoim v'hem. To show that in Yira, yeser se'ez v'yeser az is the term Yaakovina uses to Reuven when he's saying you would have had greater portions. You would have had kahuna and malchus and bechor. I mean, there's an even greater portion and greater strength in swiftness of the seichel. You know, it's basically show people that Yiras Hashem is also a great chachma. It's even greater, which, by the way, is what Musar did. If people were thinking, well, the only thing that's interesting is the halachic sections of the Gemara, and Musar is, you know, if you're Nebuch, if you're not too smart, so you'll study this, because he said that's the people don't understand it. The chachma ha-Musar took it apart and showed what's really happening. And sometimes I read a piece from Yerucham, you have to think about what you have to contemplate what he means, and what Yisrael Salanta would write in a few lines, his Talmidim would elaborate with pages, you know, what that's referring to. They show that there's great chachma here. So says Rav Kook, that's what has to be done. Gam b'derech seichel haposhut. Even at a basic level, you don't have to make it so esoteric and nobody knows what you're talking about. You know, demonstrate, you want to know what Yiras Hashem is, look at this source, look at that. Isn't that interesting? Show the chachma of it. This is such an important point. And these precious studies straighten out the seichel. Oh, everybody wants to be a lamdan. I want to know how to think like the Rashiva. I want to be a lamdan. Show him that this study straightens out your seichel. It's not only knowing how to make a distinction between what we say in yeshiva, cheftza gavra, is it a law on the person or a law on the item? You know, does it work? That makes you smart too. But these studies are miyasher as a seichel. They straighten out the seichel, marchivim es hadas, and broaden the mind. Levad hatovos hagadolos shabbat smusim, aside from the great good that's inherent in them. In other words, really a person should want to study these things because you tell them, well, you know, God created you and this is the chachma of him. That should be enough. But in case that's not sufficiently convincing for me because I want to be a smart guy, so tell them, no, this is going to make you smart too. This is going to make you understand better. And there's a fascinating source that his son, actually two, that his son refers us to. If you look in footnote Lamed Beis, it says, Ayin Das Kohen Siman Nun Aleph, which I printed up here. Das Kohen is one of her cook's farm of chubos. Most of them are in learned matters, in what we'd call lamdusha halachic matters, very involved chuvos, fascinating chuvos. But this particular chuva, he wrote to, I wonder if this is Rav Segel's father, because it's a Rav Moshe Yitzchak Segel from Manchester. I don't know who this is, but I don't know the background, but he had apparently written to Rav Kook, I'm about to start teaching some Musar to my Talmidim, or some new study of Musar. He must have asked him, can you write something to them to encourage them, to make them excited about this? So I'll read to you a little bit what he writes.
This is from Rav Segel now.
No, this is from Rav Kook. Rav Kook wrote to a Rav Yitzchak, Moshe Yitzchak Segel. I'll read from the beginning. Early Yom Tomasi, that means it was the night before Asar B'Teves. Meheri Yilon Alakol Yisrael Lesosan Asimcha. It should be turned around for us and for all the Jewish people for a day of joy. Okay. Tafresh Ayins. This was 1917. He wrote Ezras. He made it turn the year into a positive abbreviation. It should be a year of help. London. He wrote this in London because he was traveling. Shalom Rav L'chvod Yedid Nafshi HaRav Hamor HaGadol Otzer Torah V'Yir HaShemayim Tahara. That's a nice title. Marbitz Torah La'adorim, who teaches a lot of Torah to his flocks. Rav Moshe Yitzchak Segel, Ram de Kehila Manchester. It was a Rosh Masifta in Manchester. Achad Risha Shlomo HaTov V'Ava Rabba. After asking how are you with abundant love. He writes, Ka'es hinani muchrach l'katze. Right now I have to write it short, a bridge. Rak ershom dvarim achadim ibn echibas hakodesh de kvot haras haram. I'll just outline or write down some brief things. I guess he's under pressure, but because of my great love for Master, I mean you. All right, then he writes, I didn't put it all here, I skipped some of it, but he writes, V'hine katayi did nafshi shlita samachas levabi v'masha deni shehischa lilmod ima talmidim ma'at divri musar v'yiras Hashem. Chachma misifrei kodesh. You make me very happy that you tell me that you're teaching your students some musar. Ashrei chelko, fortunate is your lot. V'yichud halu muchrachu hadavar b'zman hazev medina zu. Particularly, this is necessary nowadays and in our place. Shahatchukos hasmanios shalhevle haolam, the ephemeral yearnings of the vanities of the world, hakina v'ataiva v'hakovet hamaduma, jealousy and desire and imagined honor, it's not true honor, homos v'roashos kolkach, that they make such a commotion. So therefore what? B'men nuchal la'oras levav tz'iri, how can we rouse the heart of the youth? Hayomim sh'yifkechu einayim liros, this is the age when we have to get them to see its glory and its greatness. Ziva v'hadara, its radiance and its greatness, shel Torah, of the Torah. How do we do that if they're being enticed by all kinds of other things? In lo b'limuda shel chochmas hayira ha'amitis al pi sifrei gedolei Yisrael, if not by showing through limud ha'musar. Asher ha'emiku herachivu b'chochmas hayira ha'torah, that they went deep and broad in the chochma of yira, pure Yira, Ukdushas Ara Hashem Agnuza Benishmas Am Kodesh, and the great holiness and light that's stored in the soul of the holy nation. Laman Tisgal Ein Kol B'chol Alfei Arasei Meirim Be'or Yikros Arachem, in order that it be seen with all of its thousands of shades of light. Now, he writes, V'hine Ein B'yacholti Luchto V'kvot Arosukeis Dvarim Mesudorim B'rayonos Haru'im L'fi Talmidav Hayikarim. I can't write for you in any kind of organized way, proper ideas for your dear students. Ubiyichud kosha hadavar letzamsem divrei hegyonei kodesh lefi erkam shel talmidim she'eini yodea mahalach ruchum v'kochoseyam hanafshim. He writes an interesting thing. I can't write an appropriate message to your talmidim because I don't know them. Musar inspiration is always relative to your crowd. He says, I don't know their strengths. I don't know them, so I can't really write any kind of very good idea to them. That's a great truth. That's why some things you'll read in Musar won't speak to you. And then his Talmud writes, oh, now I know what he means. Because you have to relate to the person you're talking to. Because then Nira, nevertheless, he wrote something that I think you could put in a frame, put on your wall. It's worthy of reading a lot. Shereishis kol roi lahazbi l'chol ha-talmidim. The first thing you should explain to the Talmidim is, I say, Yesod HaGadol, the great Yesod, the great foundational principle, Shekol HaSlochas HaTorah, all the Hatzlach, all the success in Torah, Limtza Simen Bracha Bilimudo, to find signs of blessing in his study. Everybody who studies wants to be successful. I don't want to study and be an ignoramus and not get anywhere. Lemigmar Ulamizbar, which means to learn a lot and to also be able to explain it, to process a lot of information and to understand it. The word Gemara, to explain it. Lavo berbos hayamim lamadrega chashuva v'haguna bekisra shel Torah, to come after a number of years to some worthy level of the crown of Torah. If I'm going to put in years of studies, talking to Talmidim and Yeshiva, they want to come out with something. They should have some kind of crown of Torah. They accomplish something. Teluyehi lefi midas yiras Hashem is dependent on the measure of yiras Hashem. V'omek kedushas ha'amuna ha'tahara ha'mushreshes b'nefesh. You hear that? Tell them their success in learning in Yeshiva. They want to come out of Yeshiva after a few years with some crown of Torah, some accomplishment. Obviously, not everybody's going to be the same, but you want to come out with something that is dependent on to what degree you have a measure of Yiras Hashem and the depth of the purity of the emuna that is mushrish, that is firmly rooted in the soul. There you have it. Ki achavas hakoach hasichli v'ha'amakoso l'tishoso v'istafuso l'sifim rabim. Because for one's intellect and seichel to go deep and to branch out into many branches, shehu hayisod hagadol lacharifus ulbekiyus, that's the whole idea of being sharp and being learned in a lot. Tluyehi beomek harotzon hanafshi. What's that all dependent on? The depth of the soul's will. Hamas orer lahokir esanyonim halimudiyim shu osik b'hem. To be roused, to cherish, lahokir is to give value to the things he is studying, that he's involved in. I mean, so you just look historically at the chachamim and the Jewish people, how much they knew. Some of them had short lifespans, and how much they wrote on. It's something that's just not physically possible. They didn't have word processor.
They have light.
And some of them were extremely poor, and the wealth of knowledge, and a lot of their works we lost, even from what we have, though. Like, it's in one lifespan, and sometimes a lifespan that was involved in running away from pogroms. And he says the success, Yitziyata Deshmaya also, but the success comes from the degree to which a person values what he's studying. V'kevan shu osek b'Torah, since he is studying Torah, shehi dvar elokim chayim, which is the word of God, the living word of God, echus ha'haukara ha'penimis shel chavivus iska shel Torah. The quality of the giving of value, the inner giving of value to the love of the toil in Torah, tzlihi b'nekudas kedushas yiras Hashem ha'amitis, is dependent on that point of light, that point of kedusha, of true yiras Hashem. Hashruya b'lvavo shel ha'osek b'Torah panima, that is dwelling in the heart of the person who is studying Torah. Shekol ma shel shebirchasa shel yiras shemayim holeches umisgaberes b'leiv b'kedusha v'tahara. All the more that the blessing of fear of heaven goes on and gets stronger in the heart, in holiness and purity. Kein ne'esim divrei Torah. So will the words of Torah become shehem ma'or pnei melachayim, that they are the radiance of the face of the king. Yikarim v'nisgavim be'enav. They will become dear and lofty in his eyes. In other words, if I'm studying this book because I'm in school, my teacher said I have to know it, so I have a testa. All right, so I'm using my intellect. If I feel, and you'll see actually the next section of Cook talks about is simcha, and that's exactly what simcha is. This is simcha. You walk into the restaurant, there's a menu. Okay, item A is not too good for you. High in calorie, some trans fat, some sugar. Item B is carcinogen. And item C is the elixir of life. You'll live forever, and you'll be able to, your intellect will, I'll take C. And this, somebody comes over and you say, what are you having? Oh, I took A. Well, I took C. That's simcha. Like, you got a good deal. You got the, So he says the more a person feels that way when he studies Torah, the more it registers. How is it that people, yeah, they remember things that they learned so long ago, and it registers, and it, everything connects, what I learned here connects, what, because it's so alive in their minds. Umeirov chavivusam iskasha b'hem hacheshek hanafshi hapnimi. And from their abundant love, it connects with a deep cheshek, as a yearning of the inner soul. B'teva hacheshek hapnimi hu la'oris kol hakochos. It is the nature of an inner yearning to rouse all the faculties. I just like to talk about people who with adrenaline can do things that you get. That's at a physical level. There's spiritual adrenaline also. So I'm so connected to this. It unleashes abilities that you didn't think the person had. La'oras kol kochos hanefesh bezirus shel chayim, to rouse all of the faculties of the soul with the zrizus. Zrizus is alacrity. B'simcha v'tuv leva. That's his next section. Simcha v'tuv leva. B'tshuka gadolu ni'imu shel tanug ruchni elyon v'niskav. Okay, maybe we'll, I'm running out of time, maybe we'll continue this later next time, but this is the idea that he's talking about here, when he just said, you have to know that studying these things is miyasher es ha-seichel, it straightens out the seichel. I don't have time to finish this letter, but the other source that he quotes is from Oros HaTorah, that's the Sefer of Rav Kook about Torah, the light of Torah, and there he says it in one short paragraph. He says, lefi erech behirus hatshuva shelefnei halimud, per the value, per the level of the purity of tshuva that a person does before he studies, tigdal behirus havana shel halimud, exactly synchronized with that, will increase the clarity of the understanding of what he's learning. The more tshuva I do before I sit down to learn this, the more I will understand what I'm learning. An exact relationship. Why? Hasechel misromim al pi yisod hisromus haratzon. The seichel is elevated by the principle of elevating the will, v'hu misbaher lefi hamida shel behirus haratzon, and it becomes clear per the measure of the clarity of the will. We're a very complicated being. I want to do something. How much do I want to do that? I want to drink this now. Yeah, but there's all to some degree. I want to. I don't want to. If the yearning for Torah is a full want, that unleashes all of the abilities. So says Rav Kook, it's unfortunate that people think it's only other areas of processing that are valuable. To the contrary, per the amount that he has works on Yirat Shamayim, that's how much he will understand. Aside from the fact it's not only good for helping us understand, it's good in its own right. That's the idea he says here. So maybe next time I'll try to just read a little bit more from this Das Kohen, and then we'll go into a discussion of Simcha and Tuv Leva, which he says are actually two different things. Simcha is one thing. Tuv Leva, being in good heart and good spirits, is a different one. He'll define what the difference is, and we will continue next time. Amen.
Thank you so much.